You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought about space in my cramped apartment, but in this house, all I see is empty space. The sofa and ottoman look like tiny islands in a sea of hardwood floors. I could get two ottomans in the living room, but then I'd need another sofa. I could tell people I'm into minimalism.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Tommy's holding out for a management position. This week on the Story Song Podcast.
I hear the tale and all of its glory. Three friends who took it victorious. All the songs that tell a story. It's the Story Song Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
Every episode on this show, we walk you through the world of Story Song. And this week, Rachel has brought us, I guess, some sort of religious song. I'm not familiar with this
deep,
one.
I'm bringing a deep cut.
Yeah.
Yes. Rachel was recently born again, and she's trying to convert all of us. So this is a song called Living on a Prayer. Mm-hmm. Rachel, I'm not familiar with this one. Do you want to?
Never heard of it.
It's actually living
this one.
On a prayer. Living on a prayer.
This was 80s rock and roll. Like they're not using G's.
Oh yeah, no.
They're too cool for that. There's
no
an apostrophe
G's
at the end.
There were no G's.
They're living.
In 80,
they're
in
not 80s. Living yeah. on anything.
Well, there was a G shortage. After the
gas shortage of the 70s.
After the gas shortage. Yeah, yeah. We had run out of G's.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just ass. We got the ass back, but no G for the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we used to say, back that ass up in the 80s. It meant something very different back then.
Listen, did not see it going that way, but here we are.
Anyway, of course, this is all a joke, because this is Living on a Prayer by John Bon Jovi.
You've heard the song band Bon Jovi.
Times. So that's true. That's true.
Yes.
It is the band Bon Jovi. A little confusing, you know, because I think back in the day, right, at least I didn't know that the band Bon Jovi. This is a good question. Did you guys know that the lead singer of the band Bon Jovi, his last name was also Bon Jovi?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So as we established earlier, I have never heard this song. I don't know the Bon Jovi family singers, but I'm told that this is a popular tune for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that the guy's last name?
I'll tell you. It is. Ironically, yes, it is, but it really isn't, because his name isn't two words, Bon Jovi, unless he changed them. Like had it legally changed, but I felt that way about Van Halen for
well,
a little bit.
Yes, that was gonna say that was the other one.
Yes,
Van Halen, because you know the funny thing though is that like I'm trying to think of like a good example. Like if their name was like
Hanson,
but if their name was like McGillicuddy, it was like my point being that like the Van and the Vaughn was like a typical 80s like hair metal band name.
Yeah.
Right.
So it made sense that their name was just like, you know, Van Halen or Bon Jovi. It just sounded sort of vaguely German.
Yeah.
It's also, they're also
the
like
Partridge
very
Family.
Yeah, right. They're also strong sounds. Van Halen,
thing.
Bon Jovi. Right. It's not like right. the Osmonds, right?
Right. But it's a weird middle ground, right? Because it's not like the Jay Giles Band, you know?
Right.
Or it's not like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It's like, it is a band. You just named it after yourself like a weirdo. So, Rachel, tell us the story of this story song.
Well, it's pretty straightforward, Dan. Basically, two blue-collar kids are just trying to make it through life and follow their dreams with a little help from love and a prayer and maybe God.
And a prayer.
They're just trying to make their way through life, Tommy and Gina.
In the wilds of New Jersey.
The wilds of New Jersey.
Oh, does this take place in New Jersey?
Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on track. He's down on his luck. It's tough. So tough. Gina works the diner all day. Working for her man. She brings home her pet for love.
I want to ask a question right here at the top, because in the lyrics that you have here, Rachel, the first line is something that I was not aware was in this song, which is "Once upon a time, not so long ago."
Yes,
is that what's being said into the vocoder, or am I missing something?
That is spoken.
Okay.
That is spoken right at the beginning. It goes, whoa, 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 whoa. That's the vocoder. And then it's, and then it goes, he goes, "Once upon a time, not so long ago."
Oh, he
breaks it down.
It, right?
Okay. And then he's setting up the fairy tale, the storybook nature of this song.
Right. Well, what I was going to say, this is his "Once Upon a Time in Hollywood."
I'll also say this. He did not have to tell us it's not so long ago, because this is the most 80s of song ever. This could not have taken place it could have been, up to six years, but.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say was, first of all, yes, it starts with some sort of like shamic, karmic, vocal exercises that are happening right at the front. This is some sort of like, I imagine like this is some sort of like, what's that, like that meditation practice where you just like keep saying the same
mantras?
It's like a mantra, right? It's like, oh, what, oh, what, oh, what, oh. So I just assumed that Richie Sambora was just doing that in the studio.
Yeah.
And then they were like, forget it. He's going to keep doing that. Let's just start the song. We don't know. Richie, we can't wait anymore.
Are you done? Forget it. We'll just go over it. We'll cut it out later. And then they never did.
The amazing thing, though, is that the lyrics of this song, the vocal, I just checked it, starts 47 seconds into this song. Do we get our first real lyric?
Yeah.
Right? There's a long buildup to the story of, what is his name? Tommy?
Tommy.
Tommy and Gina. Because like at first, when I started playing the YouTube clip, I was like, oh, there's no audio.
Oh, yeah. There's that whole intro where it's just like sort of this fade in.
Yeah.
With no music. It's not even like they haven't gotten to the lyrics. They haven't gotten to the music yet. It's like the orchestra's warming up.
Yeah. Well, and because there's a very slow fade in.
Yes.
Right. That's what I mean. We're like, you can barely hear it for the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
The like very slow fade
where it's like the synthesized violins and like the chimes and like all that stuff. It sounds magical.
Yeah.
It's such a long buildup. And then you have him going, oh, what, oh, what, oh, what, oh, what, into a vocoder. My point is that I'm sure we will talk about this later. Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi, had a very long, distinguished career. It is just insane to me how popular these songs are. They're really, and I'm not saying this in like it's good or bad. They're so weird. There's so much weirdness in so many of his songs. The fact that they were so popular is quite astonishing.
The man hit
a
nerve.
Easy thing to,
yeah.
But I'm just like, who's using a vocoder in 1986? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was,
I mean, I bet you Leif Garrett, I mean, no, not Leif Garrett. Who's the one who, I bet Peter Frampton was still using one in the 80s. Just sitting at
home.
Well,
I'm sure he was.
Just sitting at home being like, somebody change the station. Peter Frampton uses it at a damn drive-thru for crying out loud. He can't let go of that thing.
Right.
I mean, when they do this in concert, do they say this one's for Peter Frampton?
I think so. Yeah, they have to actually legally. They have to say that.
So we got Owa, Owa, Owa. Once upon a time, not so long ago. And then the funny thing is that I've heard this song a million times. I don't know if I've ever fully registered. Like, I guess I knew he was talking. I don't think I ever fully thought about what he was saying or it even like registered in my brain.
You just thought it was the preview.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. So now we're into the story and we meet Thomas, as I like to call him. Because Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike. He's down on its luck. He's down on his luck. It's tough. So tough.
So tough.
But how long has the union been on strike? Because isn't that something that happens and then it comes to some sort of, you know, fruition?
Right. I mean, I don't know enough about it to say for sure. But it does feel like the kind of thing where, like, if you work on the docks.
Yeah.
And the union goes on strike, right? They're going to get that wrapped up quick because they got to get stuff off the boat.
This is what I'm saying, though.
Right. Like, there's other professions where they could go on strike and, you know, it could go on for a while.
Right.
But I feel like this, they either got to wrap it up, you know, or everybody's fired. I don't know. It's one or the other because they can't just have the ship sitting there not getting unloaded. You know what I mean?
The point of this is that he's just been out of work for a long time, and that's not great.
Well, you know what? You know what I'm pleased about?
Well, I was only wondering.
I'm pleased he's not a scab.
Right. Yeah.
It would be a different. Right. It would be a different story if it said Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike, and he still is because he walked over the strike line, over the picket line.
The picket line. Yeah.
This would be a different story if it's like Tommy's doing great.
He sided with the managers.
Yeah.
We had to get new friends, but at least we've got money.
Union's been on strike. Luckily, Tommy's the guy who sells those inflatable rats, so he's really doing well.
What you need is a bigger rat. That's why this strike's not ending. I'm talking like I got big ones. I got ones twice this size. That's really going to freak them out.
You got to get a baby one, a mama one, and a papa one. And you show them who's boss.
Right. I call that the Goldilocks. Okay? You got to get three of them.
Tommy Rat. That's what they call me. Tommy Rat. For that, and also I squealed on a lot of my mafia friends.
Right. Yeah.
What's it going to take for me to get you to buy a bigger rat? When the strike's over, you take it home and put it in the pool.
Sure.
It's great. Great for kids.
Kids love big rats. Big inflatable rats.
Take it up to the lake. It's great. They can slide off of it.
Put it in a Santa hat for Christmas. Put it in your front yard. It's perfect.
Just call me Tommy Rat for all your rat needs. For all your inflatable rat needs. I'm going to be honest. It's just one. It's just when you're on strike. There's no other time when you need an inflatable rat. All that stuff about the pool and the lake, I said, that stuff, you're going to scare the kids. It's a giant rat with glowing red eyes. They're not going to like it. It's for the strike. I'm going to be honest with you.
Anyway, www.tommyrats.com.
Because the union's not on strike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Union's not on strike. Tommy's not selling any rats.
True.
Sure. Well,
song could have gone a totally different way.
To what Rachel was saying is, why is the strike going on for so long? Is this just what Tommy's saying Like, oh, yeah, I can't go to, it's the union's on strike, you know? And they're like, I think that got wrapped up like 6 months ago. No, it's still going. I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure that we're still on strike. I think. Anyway.
Gina, trust me. Trust me. The guys would have called me if we were going back to work.
I gotta stay home, Gina.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can't even leave the house if we're on strike. You know what I'm saying? I gotta stay here.
That's part of it.
I gotta stay here. I gotta wait for the Xbox to be invented.
So have we established what he does on the docks? Because I'm assuming it's like some sort of cruise ship thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a cruise ship magician.
the cruise ship magician union
yep.
went on strike. Oh, times are tough, man.
Yeah.
I gotta look, I have no money coming in. I gotta feed all these doves. You understand what I'm saying? I got expenses here.
Dove food costs money.
We gotta end this strike somehow.
If I could make it disappear, I'd be a better magician.
You see what I'm saying?
But I'm not. I'm just a cruise ship magician making his way through life.
Right. That's the union's motto, is that our employment grievances won't just go poof.
The good thing is that he uses an inflatable rat in his act. So
he can write it off.
Yeah. He's got it. They go on strike, he's got the rat. He's back at work, he's got the rat. Like that's a multi-purpose inflatable rat.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. So he's down on his luck. And I love that John is just like, look, it's tough. It's so tough. That's it. It's just tough.
What are you gonna say?
That's
a very New Jersey thing way to end it.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you, it's tough. It's tough. What are you gonna do? It's tough.
It's tough. How tough? So tough.
That's tough, Tommy.
Gina works the diner all day.
Yes, she does.
Working for her man, she brings home her pay for love. For love. So what I was going to say was that works out nice, because then when the landlord shows up and wants the rent, they're like, well, we don't have any money. We can't give you the money. And he's like, why not? I was like, well, because she made this for love.
This is all for love.
She made this money for love, not for rent. And the landlord would be like, oh, totally understand. I'm sorry, my mistake. I did not understand that you were doing it for love.
I didn't realize it was already earmarked. I apologize.
I mean, I actually legally can't take love money.
Yeah.
Like that's against the law.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah.
So
if you're doing it for love.
I would say, would you say Gina works hard for her money? So hard for it, honey?
I would.
100%. Every time I hear that, I'm like, does Gina work with Donna Summer?
I think she does.
I feel like she does.
But Gina's figuring out she's taking care of business. She decided to go non-union. And Gina makes things happen. Is what I'm going to say. And you'll see later on, you'll see. It takes its toll, but she definitely, she takes care of business.
Right. Can you throw a third song in there? She works hard for the money.
She takes care of business.
She's taking care of business.
She knows what boys like?
Yep.
She knows what guys
want? She's a rock lobster.
I got nothing.
And Papa don't preach.
Yeah.
She says.
Oh, man.
So, works the diner all day. Now, this is the part I like. She works for her man, which is nice. You know what I mean? Like, she's doing it all for Tommy.
Sure.
Right? Because she doesn't want to work in that diner. But where else are they going to get money? Because union's been on strike for apparently 18 months. Is that possible, Tommy? You're sure? All right.
I'm telling you. Guys would not go back to work without me. Trust me.
And they haven't called? Is the phone disconnected for any reason? She says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We got each other, and that's a lot more love. We'll give it a shot. Oh, we're halfway there. Oh, give it all a prayer.
We've got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot.
Wait, she says that. It doesn't say that she says that to Tommy.
Well, that's true. She says it.
Yeah. She says it, I think, to diner customers.
To get
like, she
tips.
Says that at work. Right. And they're like, I just want a cup of coffee.
Right. I want you to make me some pancakes. Well, it doesn't make a difference if we make it. Enough, so.
It does. I'm a paying customer.
It does.
So I will take my business to another diner.
So you need to make my pancakes. It will make a difference in whether or not you get a tip.
All right. I'll tell you what. For love, we'll give it a shot. How about that?
What do you have? Blueberry pie. We got to hold on to what we got. Like, no, I just want the pie. Gina.
She's like a sounding board. She can only say certain phrases.
Gina, we've talked about this.
Oh, man.
Now, look, if Tommy, if the union was on strike, I'm going to be honest, I'd fire you. But from what I understand, you guys, you're down on your luck because the union's still on strike. Steve, can you check on that? Just make sure.
I mean, my brother-in-law said he went back 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Call Tommy. See what he says. Just getting a busy signal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Gina, from what I'm hearing, apparently the dock workers don't have a union. So she says, presumably to Tommy, although, it doesn't say that. But she says, we've got to hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. Let's start with what is it? When she says if we make it or not, what is she talking about?
I think I don't know. I think it's their dreams.
Okay.
Yeah, if they make it in life.
But I was thinking like they want more than this out of life, as we'll see, you know. Right. In the next couple of things, you know, that probably they had dreams. So they're trying to make it somehow. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference if they make it or not, except for where they live, how they live, whether or not they can afford food, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're just banking on love.
So she's assuming they're going to be together forever. Like when she says if we make it or not, she's not saying it doesn't matter if we break up.
No.
I don't think it's that at all.
Okay.
I think it's...
So that would make a difference.
Yeah, I think they're going to stay together regardless. It doesn't make a difference if their life is what they expected it to be.
Right. So what do you think their dreams are? She wants to work in a nicer diner, diner on the other side of town?
Yeah.
He wants to go on strike for a nicer cruise line.
Yeah. Right.
No, I think
the dream is to build Macy's floats. I would assume Macy's balloons, right?
Right.
Go off the rats, start making balloons.
I'm telling you, someday, Gina, there's going to be this thing called SpongeBob, and it's going to be the biggest thing. I want to make a million balloons of it. Trust me. Once the rat union's not on strike anymore.
I think that there's I just think it's some sort of success, however they think it's going to be. I don't know if Gina even knows what her dreams are. Do you know what I mean? Right. She's just trying to make it day to day.
Yeah.
All she knows is she wants more than this.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's that they wouldn't have to worry about any of this.
Right. Well, here's what I was going to say, is that being in love and having love in your life is very nice. I have a lot of it in my life. So I'm not discounting that in any way. It's an extremely important thing, and it is a lovely and wonderful thing to have. But what's better is to have it when you're not starving to death.
Sure.
In a hovel. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is I'm not saying give up, Gina. I'm just saying it does make a difference.
Right.
Whether you make it or not. You know what I'm saying? It does make a difference whether or not you have any money coming in and if Tommy ever goes back to work on the docks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that what she's saying is it's better that they have each other and nothing else than to have everything else and not each other.
Well, sure. And I think that this whole thing... thing. Obviously, these two lines are, they've got to hold on to each other, whether or not they make
right.
it.
Right, right, right.
So, is that what you just said, Michael? Mm-hmm. I zone out
half
the
time. I zone out half the time
you're speaking.
You don't want to know what she's doing the other half. Okay, so, well, they've got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot, okay? So now I just want to, let me just see these lyrics real quick. Okay, so it's, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear. Although it doesn't make a difference. Whoa, living on a prayer. So they're living on a prayer.
So they're not halfway there.
No.
They're not even.
Well, I guess.
They might not even be a quarter way there.
Right. I guess what he's saying is we got the love part. So we're halfway there.
Yeah.
We just need the money and the security and the everything else part.
What's missing? Everything else.
Love is really weighted in this, huh? It's right. Like love is like 50% of everything, you know? Like, I can't eat love. I don't.
Have you tried, Gina? Have you tried?
Well, I've tried eating the blueberry pie at the diner, and I've gotten yelled at.
From out of the garbage, so I don't starve to death.
Is this Gina saying this? Is this them saying it together?
I think, I mean.
This is their hand-holding musical moment where they just swing in a circle?
That's a good question. Is this a continuation of what Gina was saying? Or has Tommy now taken over the conversation? So she said, we've got each other. That's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. Then he says, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer.
That's interesting. I think maybe it could be Tommy. And then we'll see in the next time. It could be the reverse.
I think. This time it's Gina.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we'll get to it, but I think the next verse it's Tommy. I think Gina is setting the example. Like Rachel said, Gina's sort of the force behind this. She's the one who's making things happen.
Yeah. No, she's trying to bolster Tommy right now because Tommy's down because it's tough. It's so tough. We found out. And she's saying, I'm working for love. We're going to get there. It's fine. We're halfway there. We'll make it. I swear. We're living on a prayer.
Yeah.
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 I think you're right, Michael. So he's down. You know, guys, relationships are a two-way street. And sometimes, sometimes you have to be the person who carries. And sometimes you have to be able to carry that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes you're the flower, sometimes you're the gardener.
That's right. That's right, Michael. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very astute. Yeah.
I think I got that from an episode of Will and Grace.
Sometimes that was my footprints on the sand. On the beach.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
I was just going to say that.
Don't.
But I think in this verse, Gina needs to be the person who's saying, take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. Gina's right. The one who's offering her hand in this verse. Keep in mind what I said, and then we'll get to it in the next verse.
So this is awkwardly phrased, but I think what he's trying to say here. So Tommy's got his six string and hawk. Okay, that part's we got. Now he's holding in what he used to make it tough.
When he used to make it talk so tough. That might be a typo, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, still okay. So even if it is when.
Yeah.
Now he's holding in. Okay. So now but I guess what he's saying is. He's not letting out. Like, he used to have an outlet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And now he doesn't have an outlet because he's holding in when he used to make the guitar talk so tough. It's tough.
Yes.
It's not a cello then.
It's not a cello.
Oh.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I don't know. Is this a song about Yo-Yo Ma? Possibly.
I was going to say Tommy's real name, Yo-Yo Ma.
Is that the only cellist player that I or anyone else on earth knows? Yes. Do you guys remember?
And that's how Yo-Yo Ma wants it, by the way.
Like some kids is like just like playing a cello, you know, like 7 years old, and he just like looks out the window. Yo-Yo Ma is staring at the window like, I'm watching you. Yeah. Don't get too good on that one, buddy. As a kid who was too poor to have cable and watched a lot of PBS growing up, Yo-Yo Ma was on every third PBS show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, now he's on Mr. Wizard? Are you seriously? This guy is everywhere. I don't think he ever left the PBS studios.
He was huge.
He must have had an apartment there. He was always hanging out. And all he did was play the cello. Look, I'm sure he was very good at it. But I, as an 8-year-old, I was like, that's it? I'm going to hear the cello 50 times a day watching PBS with this guy?
He's PBS royalty, man. He's PBS royalty.
And again, I was 7. I was like, this is where my tax dollars are going. Great. to hear this guy play the cello again.
You put Yo-Yo Ma on, you're going to get those phones ringing. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
It's probably a guitar because Tommy's got a 6-string and hawk. So when he says when he used to make it talk so tough, period, it's tough.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
That's
he used to make the guitar talk so tough, but it's tough. The fact that he now can no longer make the guitar talk so tough.
Yeah.
It's still tough. You know,
yeah.
it's still Jersey. They still have to be like, you know, it's still tough. It's still tough. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'll say this: when you hit that Tommy's got his 6-string and hawk, you're like, of course he's a musician,
right?
Of course he's playing the guitar and he wants to be a musician, but he works on the docks and now he's got a union job. But really, what he wants to do is run around on a stage and play guitar like he's some Mr. John Bon Jovi Van Halen.
Right. The thing I think is always funny is that, and it's totally understandable why, but the number of story songs in which the main character is a musician is so, because, and it, again, it makes sense because a musician's writing the song and it's like hard for them to imagine that anyone would want to do anything other than be a musician.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's a ton of, like movies that are about writers.
Right.
Because like a writer's like, well, the best thing on earth to be is a writer. Yeah. So I'm going to write a thing. Or just like, or they literally just like, I don't know what else. Like, how does someone get a normal job? Like, I literally don't know.
Or it's that the only dream that is worth writing about is a dream about being a musician.
Right, exactly.
So it's like he has his regular job, you know, as a neurologist. But his real dream is to play guitar for a acid jazz group.
Sure. Yeah.
Or it's about the struggles of being a musician. Like there's metaphors about being a musician where it's like, yeah, it's great to be a rock star, but it would be great just to do whatever another job is.
Right.
You know, like. Yeah. What we did a song about that. What was it? Turn the Page.
Oh, yes.
Which is a whole long story about, like, it's pretty tough to be a rock star.
Right.
Like, I know.
I mean,
you guys...
a little bit Her Town 2 is like that, isn't it? Is it Her Town 2 that I'm thinking of?
Her Town 2 is. No, to me, that's more about like the personal story with the backdrop of, oh yeah, he's a musician,
right.
Because what the hell else is he going to be?
Right, that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're a musician and you write a song, and it's like, okay, so what does this guy do for a living? I don't know. He's a musician. Like I can't think of another job.
That is a job. That is the only job
that exists. Right.
Because I mean, Her Town 2. It's not going to be like she gets the house in the garden. He gets the other accountants.
Right. Yeah. he gets the sports equipment business. Like, no, yeah, he gets true, the boys in the band.
That's true.
Because he is a musician. Yeah, but there's a ton of like, there's like Bon Jovi songs, Tom Petty songs, like Bruce Springsteen songs that are all about someone who wants to be a musician.
Yeah.
And can't be
right.
for whatever reason. Like, you know, there's like Into the Great Wide Open. It's like that too, where it's just like out of nowhere. All of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, he went to LA to become a musician, but he failed. Like, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Because, and it's always like, because it's really hard, you guys.
Yeah.
Like we have to put in a lot. Not everyone can just be a musician.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously it's the best thing. It's what everyone wants to be.
Everyone in these stories wants to be this, but I'm the only one who's good enough to be it.
Right.
So you guys keep aspiring. But also it's really hard to be a musician, and someday I would like to be whatever it is that you guys do.
Right.
What we're saying,
I'm sure.
What we're saying is that if Tommy Sixtreme wasn't in Hawk, in 10 years, he'd be writing Turn the Page.
Right.
He'd be like, right. Man, I wish I was just working on the docks again.
You know? God, remember the docks?
Just hanging out with the guys in the union. Uh-huh. They never did call me back.
What if, like, he's like about to go out on stage in front of 10,000 people in, like, Paris, and he's like, all right, guys, let's do this show. Here we go. And wait, what? I got a phone call? Hello? Oh, you guys are off strike? Okay, I'm coming. Hold on. I'll be right there. Sorry, guys, I got to go.
See you later.
Guys, I'm making $14.50 an hour, okay? On the docks.
I'm a union guy through and through.
I can't. If they call, I got to go. I can't. What do you want me to do?
Or if when he's a musician, he's like, this song is for Joey, who never returned my inflatable rat. Said he only needed it for a couple of weeks.
Right. So he can't even play his guitar because he had to put it in Hawk. And let's not even get into the how does the pawn shop thing work, because I still do not understand.
No, I don't.
So let's move on to Gina, because Gina dreams of, well, she wants to run a marathon. Gina dreams of running away.
Yeah, she does.
When she cries in the night, Tommy whispers, baby, it's okay. Someday.
It's...
Yeah? Why was that?
When he says that he whispers it, it's romantic. When you actually whisper it, it's terrifying.
The funny thing about it is...
absolute silence and somebody whispering, it's okay.
Baby, but... it's okay. Baby, it's okay.
I am sleeping.
Baby.
I am.
Baby, it's okay.
Tommy, I'm sleeping, and
will you?
Your breath is so warm in my ear right now.
Gina, were you crying? I thought I was crying. No? Okay, it's going to be okay. Also, did anyone call from the docks today? No? Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to sleep.
You know what's funny about that line, though? Because he says, when she cries in the night, Tommy whispers. Then he does not whisper it. He goes up in volume.
That's true.
He goes, baby, it's okay.
Baby, it's okay.
So Gina's ear is like, she's like, that is not whispering. I don't know how many times I need to tell you.
It's
I know
so
we're from
loud,
Jersey.
Tommy.
This is a Jersey whisper, is what I'm saying. I need a normal, like, Midwestern whisper.
Hey, Gina, I'm trying to whisper to you that it's okay over here. This is how we do it in Jersey.
Oh, my gosh.
So what I was saying earlier,
yes,
about like Gina saying that whole chorus, this is why I think it's Tommy saying it in the second verse.
Right. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
I like that.
Yeah. So now it's his turn to carry her, to be the
and
gardener.
And to be clear, he whispers this whole thing.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
We gotta hold on
with all the lights
on. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We've got each other, and that's a lot.
Why do you sound like Christian Bale's Batman in the third Batman movie? He got more and more whispery as the time went on.
Where is she? Okay,
Gina, the call's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, okay, so he says, because he says, baby, it's okay. So this is the continuation of what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying, we got to hold on to what we got. Doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. Now, who's saying, whoa, whoa, we're halfway there?
I think it's still Tommy.
Michael's saying Tommy.
All right.
In a whisper.
It's still whispering. Yeah. She's like, actually, just talk normally at this point. You're freaking me out.
Tommy, you woke me up already. Just talk.
So, yeah. So, we're halfway there. Living on a prayer. Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear. Whoa, living on a prayer. Living on a prayer.
You can do the whole thing? You can do the whole thing.
I don't,
Richie
yeah.
Sambora over there? You gonna do the whole thing?
Oh, what? Oh, what? Oh, what? that's really it. So, because then we get
There's not a super cool bridge. There's a bridge. Okay.
And then a very key change.
And then the most important key change in history. There's a couple of things about that bridge. Number one, you got to hold on, ready or not. For what? You live for the fight when that's all that you've got. What fight? Who are we fighting? Why do we always got to fight in Jersey? Why? What are we fighting?
It's the fight to survive. It's the fight against the universe. It's everything.
Right.
It's just what?
Fight.
It's the fight against
is,
the universe.
I don't know. All they have is the fight. All they have
he's
is
saying,
the struggle.
He's
I
saying
see.
Fight, 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 fight against the dying of the light is what Tommy is trying to say. yeah, all they have is the struggle against it's them against the world.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's all they got.
Gotcha.
Now why he says ready or not, I don't know. Because I feel like they have a lot of time to prepare.
Right.
Like
yeah.
there's not
He's not
it's
working.
Not,
How about you get ready? How about working at a diner all day? And you're unemployed from the docks. You can get ready for the fight.
Because it's kind of fun to have like a slightly different lyric there.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's also like no matter what, like, I think it is ready or not because Tommy wasn't expecting to lose his job. It's
okay.
No matter, right. like, it's the no matter what, like, they have to keep.
You have to fight fighting. Whether you're ready for what life's going to throw at you or not. You've got to go.
Yeah.
There's no second chances in life.
How has there not been a musical about these two?
I just said the chorus comes in.
But seriously, it seems like you would have one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy and Gina.
I mean, are we saying we're going to bring Broadway roaring back with a Bon Jovi musical?
We are now.
You think that wouldn't play on Broadway?
I'm saying, are the three of us going to become millionaires by doing that? Is what I'm asking you.
Oh, yes, yeah. yes, indeed. We
copyright,
are.
The Story Slam
yes.
podcast.
Yes,
copyright. Okay, I'm already typing up the outline for the book, so while this is happening,
it is going to be entitled Slippery When Wet. We'll have nothing to do with the actual musical. But
I'm gonna be honest with you, the first 15 pages of this is just about the inflatable rat. he has a beautiful solo.
So, he's so good.
That he's gonna sing.
As he's being inflated.
Right.
It's like his
is
coming
it from
to
his
life.
Perspective?
From the rat's perspective?
Yeah.
I think so.
The show is mostly about the rat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you about that.
Can we get Twyla Tharpe to choreograph?
Yeah, I think his inflating song, like his story, his origin song is kind of like I am what I am, and what I am is an illusion from Lacage. Slowly being inflated to a giant rat on stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we've nailed that down. Somebody call up Cameron McIntosh.
We gotta talk casting though.
Yeah. All right.
I'm thinking Clooney for the rat, but we can talk about that later. Okay.
I mean,
so
normally I just give him the part, but I need to hear him sing.
Yeah, totally.
And guys, we're having a lot of fun here today, but I think there is something poignant in the you live for the fight when it's all that you've got.
Right.
Right. Because if they give up, they're literally just going to they're just going to fall into the abyss.
Yeah.
Like, they have almost nothing. They have to keep fighting.
Then they'll fall apart. Like, I think it's, and I think the other thing, the other part of this is very easily they could fall into a sense, not only of despair, but of like, regret, or they could feel some sort of like angst towards each other. But the idea is also they have to fight, because when all they have is each other, and they have to hold on to each other through this and make sure that that stays strong.
Hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. No, I'm agree with you. Because I mean, I think realistically, right? They know they're not halfway there.
Right.
But that's just what they're telling. They're telling themselves that they're halfway there.
Yeah, you that I mean? That might be the optimistic view.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm just saying.
They're just saying the fact that they have each other means that they're halfway there. That's half the battle right there.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of lonely, broke-ass people in the world, is what they're saying. So at least they got
Now
they
there's
got
two
thing.
Less lonely people in the world.
Yeah.
Air supply.
Yeah. I will say this. I think you're right, Dan. Like, the thing about this that makes this song great, that makes it long-lasting, is its blue collarness, is its relatability, and there's a sincerity in it, right? As a whole. And I think that that's really important to this song. So yeah, we make our yuck yucks about inflatable rats. But when it comes down to it, this is just an amazing song.
Oh, the song's awesome.
That has its rightful place in music history.
If this song wasn't amazing, like we were joking before about, like, yes, you have to sing along with 400 people.
Right.
Anytime the song comes on, everybody sings along.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody gets involved with this song. Like, if the song wasn't great, that wouldn't be the case for 30 plus years.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm having to put my own biases aside. Because this type of music is not one that I'm particularly care for. And I have heard this song too many times in my life.
Right.
Like, there is a limit to how many times I was supposed to hear this song. I have well exceeded it many years ago. Having said that, both of those things, there's no denying, like, this. I mean, this song is just catchy as hell. Like, there's no getting around it.
And I think, listen, even if it's a song that you're not gonna like put on your playlist to go to sleep to or to like run to, if this song came on, like Michael said, if you're at a wedding, this song comes on, you're not not doing the key change. You know what I mean?
No.
That's not.
Yeah.
You'll be arrested, first of all, and second of all, you can't stop yourself. Like, it is addictive.
Right. Well, it's one of those things that, like, just growing up where we did and when we did, this song's just in our bones.
Right.
Like, there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it changed our DNA. It is a part of us, and there's no getting around it. And one time, I was very drunk at a holiday party, at a work holiday party, and this song came on. And I surprised myself by knowing every single word and knowing when the key change came and singing at the top of my lungs. Like, you know. You just, like I said, it's just in your, it's part of you. It's like part of the soil.
Right.
Like there's no escaping it. It is who you are.
Yeah. So. And I mean, the fact that it was at a holiday party, this is nothing if not a Christmas song.
Of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, I peaked. We'll talk about it, but I believe this is in fact a Halloween song. And so we can talk about that when we get there.
That's right.
All right. Anything else to say on Living on a Prayer?
Just that in the stage version that we're doing, after the key change, Tommy would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Yo-Yo Ma."
And there's 10 minutes of I mean, do you think let's get into this?
Good Lord.
Do you think the rat could sing "Wanted Dead or Alive"? Could the rat
he
sing?
Can
wait
now.
For it. Could the rat sing? How about this? The rat eats rat poison.
Okay.
And while it's dying, it sings a slow ballad version of "Bad Medicine."
Just one chorus.
Yeah.
It's the reprise.
I ate some bad add medicine and then it dies.
Yeah.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. So. Yep.
Last bow to that rat. Last bow goes to that rat.
I think we cracked it. Guys, we saved Broadway. let's be happy about that. All right, let's talk about Expanded Universe. What do we got?
Expanded Universe!
Well, I think that the docks are probably near the river that Patches falls in, right?
Yeah.
Is it Patches that falls in the river? Yeah, Patches.
I don't know if Patches falls in the river.
Right.
That's right. I gotcha.
Let's say falls in the river. It's an industry town, right?
Yeah.
It's coal.
There's a coal plant,
I believe.
But presumably boats would have to.
Patches lives is coal. It's a shanty town.
Yeah.
Yeah. But presumably boats would have to come to get the coal. So I'm going to say that there are docks. No, I'm just agreeing with you. I think there are docks. And that's the docks where Tommy works is the river that Patches somehow ended up in. We don't know how.
Who knows?
And nobody's asking, nobody should be asking. So, yeah. All right, I like that. What else we got?
I'll say that I think we were being, not that we were being too forgiving, but we gave it a little bit of a charitable read when we talked about Gina brings home her pay for love.
Okay.
We read it as her love for Tommy and keeping them both afloat. Does she perhaps bring her pay home for DJ love? Like, is she working at this diner just so that she can go out to the clubs at night?
Oh, she brings home her pay so that she can request songs from DJ Love at the clubs?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
DJ Love from Let the Music Play.
Sure.
Oh, yes, I got that. Was that for our listeners?
Now it is, yes.
Sure. I can see that, Michael. Sure. That's fine. That's fine.
Where Tommy's like, hey, we have bills to pay. And Gina's like, yeah, so I'm going to go to the clubs.
Could this be the beginning of her town too? Could this be?
I mean, if it ends with them getting divorced, yeah.
That's what I'm saying is this the beginning and then the complete end of that relationship of Tommy and Gina's relationship is her town too? Because didn't in her town too, didn't she work in a cafe?
I don't think so.
Didn't she work in she didn't?
Maybe.
Let's say she did. Or it might have been something that we said.
That seems more likely.
But maybe he gets his guitar out of Hawk. He becomes famous. he wants to move around. And she's like, I'm not moving around. I'm staying in Jersey.
Or he doesn't become famous. And then at the at their divorce hearing, she says, you know what? You get the boys in the band.
You take Richie Sambora. Get that guy away from me.
Enough already with him.
Or what if Tommy gets his guitar out of Hawk and is gonna go live his dream being a musician, and it's like, Gina, please come to Boston. Things are going really well here.
No, wait, I think Please Come to Boston is the one I was thinking of. Not Her Town too.
Okay.
Because she worked in a cafe.
Yes. There we go.
It was Please Come to
Boston. No, he worked in a cafe.
No.
He wanted her to sell paintings on the sidewalk by the cafe.
By the cafe. That's
right. That's
what it was.
He had a really specific
plan in mind for her.
Gosh. So Gina's
dream was
to
paint. You can work on the sidewalk outside the cafe. Can I work in
the
cafe?
Right.
You can work on the sidewalk outside the cafe. Right. That is the dream.
You can stand outside on the sidewalk.
Listen, Gina, it's tough. Stay on the sidewalk. It's so tough.
Do you think Tommy was friends with Billy from Billy Don't Be a Hero? Because the union that was on strike was in fact the Union Army.
I'll buy it. I like that.
Oh, Michael's man. Like, sounds good. Let's move on.
No, I think that's great. I think it's, I mean, I'd question the historical accuracy, but I think.
Oh, you think so? Doesn't quite work out.
We don't have a lot of unions in these songs, so you take the ones you can get.
Well, I'll tell you, you know how the union guys feel because they're on strike. Mm-hmm. They feel like they're lost and lonely. So they'll all get together and they'll go to a bar where a woman sings. Mm-hmm. For the lost and the lonely.
Yeah.
Wait, let me ask you this. So it doesn't say this in the song, but if we want to take it super tragic, like maybe they do break up and whatever, but maybe they have a kid or two.
Okay.
Like a daughter, and things don't get better for them. And at some point, Gina has to talk to her daughter and say, just be nice to the gentleman, Fancy, and they'll be nice to you.
Oh my God, Michael.
Jesus took a turn.
Jesus.
Why did it take a turn?
Too dark.
How's
too dark,
dark,
Michael. Bad. Bad. What do you mean, why? Because she's a child prostitute. Do I have to
No, she's not.
Fancy?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a prostitute.
Yeah, she is, but
right.
It's about they lived in an old shack and
Where do you think Tommy and Gina live? They just live by the docks. They're in Jersey. They probably live in Jersey.
But Gloria Saunders lived in Shantytown next to Patches, for God's sake.
Yeah. Right, but they're halfway there, Michael. They're not going to pimp out their daughter. Okay?
They live in Shantytown, which is being gentrified, and they live in the coal lofts, is what they're called.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a $12 million apartment.
Look, the union's on strike. Nobody's paying attention at the docks, and therefore there's the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Okay, can we just end it there?
I think that's good.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the history of this song with Story Behind the Story.
Are you looking for a playlist of the hottest, most bumpin' jams around? Well, we can help you with that, but we do have a Spotify playlist of all the songs we've reviewed on the show. So if you'd like to hear that, search for the Story Song Podcast, the official playlist on Spotify. Then you'll hear the most lit baller bops that go hard. I can't read this.
Hey everyone, it's Dan. Just a quick heads up. When we originally recorded this episode, towards the end of this next segment, Rachel's microphone failed, and so you're going to hear the change in audio quality as it goes from her podcasting mic to the internal mic on her laptop. It's a little jarring when it happens, which is why I wanted to give you this heads up, but after that, hopefully it won't be too bad, and it's near the end of the episode anyway, so hopefully it won't hurt your enjoyment of the episode too much. Okay, back to the show. All right, we're back. It's time for Story Behind the Story. How did the story come to be? But before we do that, we have another review to read, which, Michael, I believe you have that handy.
I do have it handy. Mm. I carry all of our reviews around with me at all times.
It's a little laminated card. Yeah.
So this review is by Shri, who said, interesting conversation and little known facts about some well-known songs. I have fun listening.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Shri. We have fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Talking.
Short and sweet. To the point. I love it.
What's interesting, a good point about this, is that this review was on Podchaser.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is, if you don't have iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that's a good way to review the show as well.
That's right.
Because everyone can get Podchaser.
You betcha.
It's on the internet.
Yes, we often say, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to your podcast. This is a good example. Podchaser is one of those places where you can listen and you can leave a review. So, Shri, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
We really appreciate it. And if you would like to have your review read on the show, guys, there's an easy way to do it. Leave a review.
Hello.
Wherever,
you said it.
Wherever you listen.
We can't
to
read
your
it
podcast.
If you don't write it.
Exactly. Leave us a 5-star review and we will read it on the show. And seriously, Shri, thank you for listening and thank you for taking the time to leave a review. We really appreciate it. Okay. Rachel.
Yes.
Tell us, how did this story come to be?
Well, Dan, Living on the Prayer was indeed released on Halloween in 1986.
Yeah. Scary.
It's very spooky. Right. It was written by Jon Bon Jovi, Richie Sambora, and Desmond Child, who we'll talk about a little bit later. And it was obviously recorded by Bon Jovi. The song's lyrics were inspired by people that both Jon Bon Jovi and Desmond Child knew growing up in the 70s. They didn't both know them. It's not like they both hung out in the 70s. But Bon Jovi had a friend who was, he was the star baseball player in high school. They thought he was going to go pro. He was the guy. And then his girlfriend told him that she was pregnant. And then he went with her and he lived a regular life. I don't know what happened to them. I don't think Jon Bon Jovi stayed friends with them. But so that's where that part.
he only hung out with baseball players.
That's right. He was like, so you're not going to be on the Mets anyway.
Right.
And Desmond Desmond Child had a girlfriend at the time who was a waitress at a diner. And people thought she looked like Gina Lola Brigida. So everyone called her Gina. And her name was Maria. So it could have been Maria dreamed of running away, but it's Gina, which is much more Jersey.
And so, it fits better into the melody.
It sure does. It sure does. So, and obviously, as is evident by the lyrics, the song was intended to feel very working class and very real. And even though it was inspired by two people, Bon Jovi has said, Jon Bon Jovi, not that they don't speak in unison as a band. But Jon Bon Jovi has said Tommy and Gina aren't two specific people, but they represent that lifestyle. And he basically said that, you know, it also came out of the Reagan era, and that, you know, the thing he said was that trickle down economics are really inspirational to writing songs. I think because of plight. Hey guys, plight is inspirational, I think is what he said. The song is off it's the second single off of the band's third and their big breakout album, Slippery When Wet. The first being what was their first big breakout single?
I don't know. You know, it's funny, I don't know what order they come in. I don't know.
Runaway?
No, Michael, that was not on this album, believe it or not.
Oh.
Came out.
That was their big breakout single, right?
That was their breakout single, but not their breakout album. But the breakout single from this, the first single on this was You Give Love a Bad Name.
Okay.
Oh.
Of course, big. Yeah. The demo of the song had a really different feel. And originally, Jon Bon Jovi was not thrilled with it. You can actually hear it. It's on another album, and it's on a compilation album. Like, I think it's called something like A Million Bon Jovi Fans Can't Be Wrong or something like that. It's something like that. But
like the Elvis album?
It is. It's a take off the Elvis album. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen the album cover. Is
it's an exact like take on that album. But
it's when you said you could hear it. And then you said on this album, like I thought you were going to say you could hear it like in his recording where he's just like, he's not loving the way this is going.
You hear how he's like, feels defeated in this, that he really doesn't think it's going to do anything, but he thought the first recording was just okay. And it was kind of, he said, maybe they can use it in a movie soundtrack. But Richie Sambora believed in it, and then they changed the bass line, and then they added the distinct use of the talk box and a different orchestration, and it came to life, right? He also said, so that key change is probably one of the most well-known key changes in music history, I would say. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right? I mean, okay, name another one.
I mean,
no, I was going to say, I mean, again, among drunk 40-year-old women in a bar screaming it, yes, that look, is people, definitely the most famous.
People run to the dance floor,
yes,
in time for that key change.
That's sure. This is what I'm saying. So Bon Jovi has said that they kind of regret putting it in there, saying that it's just followed them for basically, you know, 36 years or whatever. But it's a great key change. You can't get away from that key change. The song,
I'm sure he has like a yacht that key change paid for. So maybe
I think he's fine with it. Oh yeah, I think he's fine with
it. A notch. Bon Jovi. Can I ask a question? Can I just take a one jump back?
Sure.
And I promise this will be quick. Is that the lowest form of song possible when he's just like, this song is a piece of crap? I mean, I guess it could be in a movie soundtrack. I mean, if that, like, that's where the garbage goes. Is movie soundtracks.
He said, put it in a movie about a dog falling in love. Is Charles Grodin doing a song and they say, doing a movie about dogs falling in love? And they say, I think Dolly Parton's
already got a
one.
Song. Is there one about a cat from outer space or something? I guess this good one be all
Do
right.
They have the script for Air Bud yet? Can we just put in Air Bud?
Is there a need for a working class rock anthem in the Academy Award nominated Beethoven franchise?
Right. Yes.
But I think what he's saying is like, yeah, it's good, but it does it, like.
Right.
Not that he wanted to put it on their album, to be representative of their album. Like, the song should have a life.
Right.
Somewhere in a movie soundtrack.
He didn't think it was going to be a single. He didn't think it was going to be one of the songs that they play constantly every night for the remainder of their careers.
Yeah.
But guess what? They did a little change into it, and it was a huge hit. The song hit number one on the Hot 100 Billboard charts. Mainstream Rock and Cashbox. It hit for the yearly Hot 100. It hit number 10 and number 15 on the album rock charts and number 5 on the yearly Cashbox charts. The world charts for this, there's too many to name, but it hit number 1 in Canada, New Zealand, and Norway, and then just was on charts everywhere. It went triple platinum. It's been named on numerous top 100 lists, including it was number 1 on VH1's Greatest Songs of the 80s special and number 46 on Billboard Hot 100 All-Time Rock Songs. And it really has shown itself, like we talked about, it's shown itself to be timeless. It found its way back on the charts thanks to a viral video of this guy dancing, I think at like a basketball game or something. In 2013, it hit number 8 on Hot Rock and All Rock Songs. And Hot Rock Songs, it hit number 95. And then it bubbled under in 2018. I don't even know why this was on the list, but Hot 100 hit number 270, which is not very, very good. Don't come at me with 270. But it.
I mean,
it's
36 years later.
It's
sure,
still out there, but, is what I'm saying. It's still out there. There are actually, and there are, like, you'll see viral videos every once in a while. There's one video of somebody in a park singing it. This guy just on a bench, and he gets to the chorus, and all of a sudden, the entire park that's filled with like people on like picnic blankets just starts singing the chorus, because that's what this song is.
That's awesome.
And I know this is a tough thing to answer, but what is it about the chorus that, again, is not only so catchy, but like it compels you to sing?
I think one part of it is this. I think it's the change in tone between the verse and chorus. There is a distinct sound to the verse and distinct sound to the chorus. Mm-hmm. The chorus really hits. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's the verse is, to me, feels very much downtrodden, right? Then the chorus comes in and it's uplifting. It's the thing that they are both saying to each other to lift each other up. So it's that uplifting feeling of the chorus, I think, that makes it feel that everybody needs to sing it together.
And there's sort of, I mean, I'm not a musician, so I may be using the wrong terminology here, but there's almost like a mini bridge before each chorus, right? Because it's the we got to hold on to what we got part.
Right. Yeah, there's a pre-chorus.
It's like, but it's like building. Yeah. It's like building, building, building. And then it's like explosion. Speaking of music, music soundtracks, it's like that, like building, building, building. And then it's like, da, 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 da. It's almost like that sort of thing where like you just, it pulls you along.
Yeah.
You know, and it just like, and then it's like, da, 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 we gotta, you know, hold on. Like it just, you just feel compelled to like I said, sing along to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think there's a simplicity to the lyrics. Not to say that they're not simple, but they're
straightforward,
concise. They're straightforward. Yep. Yeah. But there's an underlying emotion in them. There's it's the perfect marriage of like of lyric and music, where there is that uplifting. The words are uplifting, right, and the music is uplifting.
Right.
It's a perfect rhyme. It's easy to remember. There's so many elements going into it that make it singable.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sort of like builds on itself. Everyone knows that you just sing that, and it's when you hear it, you just want to sing it.
Right.
So.
No.
Everybody does. And then the fact, yep, that everybody is singing it makes you want to sing it more.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true. It's true. It's great. And there is an acoustic version of the song, Prayer 94, not to be mistaken for Freedom 90. But there's an acoustic version of the song, which Michael, when we were doing the lyrics, would say, yes, she does. Because the change in the song, it's a great acoustic version of the song.
It
but
is.
Okay. Richie Sambora, after they say like something about Gina, Richie Sambora just goes, yes, she does. And it's so good.
It's
and
awesome.
For as long as I've known Michael, as soon as the song comes on, he will do that line. And it's makes and it's joyful. But it's also really it's a great song. I mean, they've adapted it, they've used it for a different performances like that to really have a weight to it.
Isn't that what like started the whole, I could be totally off,
yeah,
on this, but the whole MTV Unplugged,
yeah, I thing. Read a little they bit a about that. I think maybe it did. Yeah, I don't think it was actually an it was
but
an
that's
actu-
94
it wasn't an,
that's late,
not for Unplugged.
Well, but I mean, Nirvana Unplugged must have already happened by that point.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, good point. No, maybe not.
Just saying. I don't know.
But I read
well,
some-
the album, I mean, I think they were doing live performances of it prior to 94, and 94 is the album that it was released on.
I just really quick wanted to touch upon Desmond Child, who was one of the songwriters. He was born in Gainesville, Florida, October 28th, 1953. So this was almost a birthday gift to him. But he is an extremely prolific songwriter. He's written songs for pretty much everyone, including Kiss, Aerosmith, Cher, Bonnie Tyler, Alice Cooper, Joan Jett, Michael Bolton, Robbie Williams, who I love, Ricky Martin, Sisqo, Kelly Clarkson, Leanne Rimes, and Selena Gomez. And he also wrote a song with Miss Barbara Jones Streisand on her Walls album.
Oh, yeah.
He is... he was in
and he wrote a song with Beethoven the Dog.
And he did.
Let's
he
not
did.
Forget that.
He did.
Yeah. He's like, yes. Yeah, it's his first soundtrack.
It was
garbage.
Fine. Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
He's been nominated for four Grammys, one of which was for the Thong Song. And
hey, man. Look, a Grammy's a Grammy.
That's right. And three of which were for, I believe, Living La Vida Loca.
Okay.
But he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2008, and he co-founded the Latin Songwriters Hall of Fame with Rudy Perez in 2013. But just you see the list of songs that he wrote and people he wrote with, and he's just an insanely prolific songwriter.
I'm going to say this about the Thong Song.
Yeah.
Talk about another song I like a lot more when I'm drunk.
You betcha. You betcha. So... I'm going to talk a little bit about Bon Jovi. I am not going to break down the actual members of Bon Jovi because we're probably going to do another song by them or by John Bon Jovi. I'm not getting into his history, but I'll talk about how the band was
brought to life. So Bon Jovi formed in 1983 in, yes, believe it or not, New Jersey.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, I thought you were going to be like in Sweden.
That's right. That's right. So John Bon Jovi, he had worked around. He had a cousin who worked as a producer, and he worked with his cousin in a studio. And he had been making some demos, one of which included an early version of Runaway, their song that Michael was talking about. And it gained some airplay after it was placed on a compilation album for WAPP, which was a local Long Island station. So after that happened, the song gained some momentum, and John Bon Jovi started to put together the band. He brought in keyboardist David Brian, who then brought along the bassist Alec John Such and drummer Tico Torres. And John Bon Jovi had seen around this local talent, Richie Sambora, and said, I need that guy. And so Richie Sambora came in, and he tapped him for lead guitar, and it became this amazing amazing duo and songwriting duo. And it was, you know, magic was made. Now, talking a little bit about the band's name, listen, Bon Jovi, we spoke about it. Is it a good name? Who knows? But they could have been called Johnny.
It's a good name.
They could have been called Johnny Electric. No. And I think Bon Jovi was the right call. They wanted to be called Johnny Electric.
You know, Bon Jovi is not, here's what I'm going to say. Bon Jovi is not a great name. Stick with me. I don't think it's a great name, but there's something, because I think about the way this song with the vocoder and the weird opening, there's something about Bon Jovi, like as a whole, where they're always coming in kind of from left field, and yet it just works.
Right.
Like Bon Jovi is like a bad name for a band, and yet for them, it just makes total sense. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know. I think it sounds cool.
I think it does sound cool, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's weird.
I think
it's a weird name.
It's a little bit of a weird name, I'm sure. But I think this, if you had to like wrap them up as a whole, I think you're capturing them, which is, I don't know why they work, but they really, it really works. So anyway, they were signed to Mercury Record and released their first album, Bon Jovi, in 84, which they re-recorded Runaway for. That song broke.
I think that might be my favorite Bon Jovi song.
It's a good song. That's, and it has song. It has really that, like his like high falsetto screech thing that he does at the end. Mm-hmm. That song broke the top 40, and the album hit number 42, leading to gigs opening for the Scorpions. You know, the CIA operatives, the Scorpions, and Kiss. Nobody knows what we're talking about. We'll talk about it some other time, I'm sure. So then in 85, they released their second album, which was 7800 Fahrenheit, which hit number 37 and led to a lot more touring and then a show at Live Aid. So their first two albums, they did moderately well. They had a couple of singles, a couple of hits, but they decided to collaborate in the third one to change it up. And that's where they brought Desmond Child in. And again, we've spoken about this time and time again, the right collaboration could really change things. And Slippery When Wet was the album they worked on, and that changed everything. That was...
See, that's like actively a bad name.
Well,
for an album, Slippery When
You
Wet.
Know what's,
and yet, it somehow works.
You know what's funny? And I didn't write this down, but it was originally going to be named something else. And I forget. I think it was, I feel like it was supposed to be called, son of a gun.
I don't know.
I forget.
Bridge May Ice Before Road? Like what?
It was supposed to be named something else. I think it was supposed to be named something else. But I forget. They didn't like it. They changed it. And... I think maybe it was supposed to be called You Give Love a Bad Name at first, but there was two on the nose and they decided to change it. But Slippery When Wet was named after they went to a strip club in Canada. So, you know, there's that. Whatever. But that album spent 8 weeks at the top of the Billboard charts. It had two number one singles and was Billboard's number one album for 1987. It was huge. Wow. Every teenager, everybody had that album in the 80s, and the album just skyrocketed the band to stardom. And in a single year, they went from like the supporting act to headliners, and then they finished out their tour without end. They had toured constantly. Their tour without end had 130 shows, and it grossed over $28 million. So after that, they went directly to recording their follow-up to Slippery When Wet, 88's New Jersey, which was equally well-received. It hit number one in the U.S. and other countries around the world and included the singles Bad Medicine and, which might be my favorite song, I'll Be There For You. These five words, I swear songs. To you. So good. When you breathe, I want to be there for you. I'll be there for you. and then do. Again, they went out on tour and they in support of the album, and they were the first, I did not know this, they were the first band to officially be sanctioned to perform in the Soviet Union. And that album was the first to be legally the first US CD to be legally released in the Soviet Union.
Oh.
See, nobody could deny Bon Jovi back then. Nobody. No. After that, an extended amount of touring, they decided, you know what, let's take a little break. And they did. And they came back with the album Keep the Faith in 92. So they took a little bit of a break. Keep the Faith went double platinum. And then they started to have a couple of shifts to them. In 94, Alec John Such left the band, but he was replaced by Hugh McDonald, who was actually the original bassist on Runaway. They keep it in the family, you know? But since then, the band, they've just...
The Bon Jovi family.
The Bon Jovi family. They're all, because they're all brothers. I found that out on that show. So
yeah.
The band, so since then, basically, the band has not stopped. And, you know, there's been, obviously, John Bon Jovi's had a solo career and Richie Sambora has had a solo career. But the band has released 10 more studio albums, and most of which were hit the top 10 of Billboard's top 200 and went gold or platinum. So after a decades-long collaborative life together, Richie Sambora left the band in 2013 because of personal issues, and he was replaced by Phil X. And when talking about the departure in 2014, John Bon Jovi told a reporter that Sambora had officially left the band, saying he's quit, he's gone, no hard feelings. And I think recently somebody asked, a reporter said that the fans and he both wished that Richie was next to him at a concert. And he said, I do too. But, you know, that's just not to be. The band has been inducted into the UK Music Hall of Fame in 2006 and the US Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018, as well as receiving the Award of Merit at the AMAs in 2004. And the band is really, if I had to sum them up, they are a fans band, right? Mm-hmm. They are there for the fans. The fans are diehard. They're tried and true fans. They follow their careers wherever it takes them. And it seems like it's been that way since the beginning. I read a Rolling Stones article from when Slippery When Wet was released that said, the band is proud of the fact that no artistic or political goal steers it. David Bryan said, why would we want to do an experimental album? That's just selfish. They said, that's not what the kids want. And they believe in their audience, and the audience clearly believes in them. And that has not changed. And that's all I got to say about Bon Jovi for now.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no getting around how popular they are and remain. It's insane how they remain so popular.
And you know what it is? I think it's the other interesting thing about them is, in a way, and I don't mean this as an insult because I don't believe it, but there's almost, even back then, even with Slippery When Wet, they had the long hair. They were a, you know, like sort of those like studio rock, like glam rock bands, but hair bands rather. But they were always like, there was always like a bit of like the hard rock fans or the rock and roll fans thought they were a bit of a joke. You know, there was something that was like a bit of a joke to them. Like, oh, Bon Jovi, like an eye roll. But when you start listing off their songs and you start listing off all of these credentials that they've had, and you realize that there's nothing to that, right?
Right.
It's they're playing what their fans want, and the musicality of it and the heart behind it is so strong that it can't be denied. And that's why they're constantly coming back. They're you know, hit after hit after hit. Is because they're staying true to the fact that they are a fans band. They're not trying to be anything. They're just trying to be rock musicians, and they pull it off very well. And they don't really care who likes them and who doesn't. They just care about, like they said in this Rolling Stones interview, they really just care about what the kids think. And by the kids, they mean their fans. who've grown along with them.
who are no longer kids, but
well, and their songs have been popular and have resonated with people for nearly 40 years.
Right.
And their older songs have remained popular.
Yes.
And still have an audience. So there's something to be said for their talent. They're very good. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're also one of those bands that like I'm looking at a list of like songs and like it just goes deep, you know, because you have like the couple of big hits, your Bad Medicines, your Wanted Dead or Alive, You're Living on a Prayer. But then you're like, oh, yeah, Lay Your Hands on Me.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And then Bed of Roses.
I'll be there for you.
Bed of Roses.
Bed of Roses, Born to Be My Baby. That's
one of some of their newest ones. Who Said You Can't Go Home was like huge in like their crossover too. Huge in like a country, like it hit the country charts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's all over.
No.
It's all over. No.
All right. Well, John, you finally crossed the last rubric. The Story Song Podcast approved. So you have no more mountains to climb. All right.
Good job, Bon Jovi family singers.
Yes. You did it. Let's take a quick break. And we come back, we'll talk about the lesson we learned from this song with Lessons Learned.
We want to be friends with you. So like us on Facebook for all kinds of fun Story Song stuff. You and the Story Song Podcast. It's the start of a beautiful friendship.
All right, we're back. It's time for Lessons Learned. What lesson did we learn from this song? Michael, let's start with you this time. What lesson did you learn from Living on a Prayer?
I learned that if you want to offer somebody some reassurance,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and let them know that you're there for them, the best way to do that is at night,
mm-hmm,
while they're asleep, when all the lights are out, in a complete whisper.
Yeah.
Well,
if possible, from like across the room.
Right.
Yeah.
So well, they don't know where the voice is coming from.
You wanna slide up real quiet, like get your mouth real close to their ear while they're fast asleep. And then just start whispering, "It's gonna be okay. Don't worry about it. It's gonna be fine." It's like real. Just right, like try to get your lips like right in their ear hole.
This is the worst ASMR.
Yeah, totally agree. Please take that lesson to heart, everyone listening right now.
Yeah.
Just whisper to everybody, guys.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, when people talk about the American dream,
mm-hmm,
they're really talking about one of two things: becoming a famous rock musician,
mm-hmm,
right? That's the first thing you can do, right? That's what everyone wants to
do. You bet, yeah.
Or get into the exciting, always an adventure, never the same thing twice, and very lucrative world of giant inflatable rat tails. So listen, guys.
Yes.
Now, I'm not doing this for my health, okay? What I'm saying is you're going to buy into this company,
mm-hmm,
right? You're going to be a part owner.
It seems solid. Right?
Now, what you do is this is Dan's Inflatable Rat.
Emporium.
Emporium, okay? But what I'm saying, though, is that I'm going to give you the merchandise. You buy the merchandise, right? But now you are your own boss,
okay?
Now, what you need to do is you need to tell two friends,
mm-hmm,
okay? And have them once, if you get a bonus, right, for all of the people that you bring in who then buy more Inflatable Rat merchandise.
I don't see how I can lose out on this.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. So, now, Michael, you and I have never met before, right?
I'm going to level with you. I got a garage full of inflatable rats that I got to get rid of.
I'm taking a bath on these rats. Oh, man. Rachel, yeah. What lesson did you learn?
If you are a diner waitress and you and your man are living on a prayer, you know what you can also do? You can live on day-old baked goods from the diner.
Yeah.
You know? Don't only bring home your pay for love. Bring home a Danish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something. No. You gotta do something. It's
like you're too good to eat an old bagel? Come on.
Put it in a toaster, it's good as new. Sometimes day old muffins are better than same day muffins.
Right. Take a box of day old donuts down to the dock where people are picketing.
And you know what?
Come on.
But you know what you have to be careful of? You have to be careful.
Mm.
I can't stress this enough. Don't put those baked goods into the microwave, because what'll happen is Tommy will take them out and he'll say, "Ugh, I can't eat this." And Gina says, "Why?" And he says, "It's tough. So tough." That was so dumb.
No, that was.
But it's true.
Hilarious. It was hilarious and totally worth that long setup. True. I just want to be clear on that.
You know what's great the second day too?
What?
Disco fries.
Disco fries.
Oh, disco fries.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Story Song Podcast. Please follow us on the socials like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, like say Podchaser, is that what it's called?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Again, this has been the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Mike Gazelle.
We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Our theme music was written and performed by Jason Flowers. Find him on Twitter at Jason Flowers with a Z. Some of our bumper music was provided by Purple Planet Music.
Our logo was designed by Dan Geva. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @story_song, and on Instagram at @StorySongPodcast.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. The Story Song Podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Go to pantheonpodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Story Song
All right. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about, what I do wrong.
You can do the expanded universe.
Do expanded universe. Oh, damn it. Sorry.
You take that back?
Yep. You know, it's funny. As I was saying it, I was just like, forgetting something, but I can't think of what it is.
It's been a weird night.
It has.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.